So thank you for the introduction, and also I'd like to thank the organizers for such a wonderful program. And well, today I'm going to talk about some 3D, well, the relation between two three-dimensional series, one supersymmetric and another non-supersymmetric. And last week, of course, Sergey, sitting there, gave a nice talk about this 3D connection, and hopefully I'd like to give a somewhat complementary approach to the problem. And before I forget, there are several papers which are the source of inspiration for my work. The first is this paper by Drew Kagayot and Gomez, and they discuss a certain generalized version of this AGT. And also, they propose a certain equality, and it has been checked explicitly in certain example by the paper, by explicit computation by Hossam Ichi Lee and Park. And so my modest contribution was to try to interpret these results from the viewpoint of the Chan-Simons theory in three dimensions. And also, there is also a cross-related paper by Tudo and Sergey. And well, so as I said, I want to talk about the connection between two 3D series. And there are several broad motivations for this work. So there has recently been a lot of developments in the field of supersymmetric gate series. And one is about the computation of exact partition functions for a cross of supersymmetric series based on the curved manifold. And for example, they include four-dimensional series based on S4, S3 times S1, or three-dimensional series based on S3, S2 times S1, etc. And depending on which theory you take and which manifold you choose for compactations, you define different quantities, different partition functions. But in many examples, we can use the technique of localization to compute these partition functions. So we have these precise answers for a lot of supersymmetric gate series. And another is the connection between supersymmetric and non-supersymmetric series in various dimensions. And of course, as the audience already knows, there are several different proposals. And one proposal is this AGT correspondence, four-dimensional n equal 2 SGT, and it's related to two-dimensional Liouville theory. And this correspondence is, of course, is not a duality in the usual sense. Well, first of all, this is a supersymmetric theory, this is a non-supersymmetric theory. And the equality is not about the equivalence of the full series, but rather they are the BPS sectors of this series are captured by conformal blocks of this Liouville theory. And then so this Liouville theory lives on the Riemann surface. Let me write out the sigma. And these four-dimensional n equal 2 theories come from dimensional reduction of 60 mysterious 62,0 theory on the Riemann surface, as described by Gaiotto. And well, typically in the context of AGT, we compactify this 4D theory on S4, but here, let me take it to be S3 times I, where I is the interval between 0 and 1. The reason will be clear later. So this is the AGT correspondence. Now, I'm going to talk about the connection between three-dimensional n equal 2 SCFT on the 3 sphere. So this is the supersymmetric side. And on the other side, we have 3D certain analytic continuation of Chan-Simons theory. And the gauge group is SL2. So it's not the SU2 gauge symmetric gauge group, but it's an, the signature is different. So there is eyes, which is different from this SU2. And we are going to propose the equivalence between the partition function of this theory and that theory. And as I said, what the title of this talk is about 3D, 3D from 4D, 2D. So I'm going to explain this 3D, 3D correspondence in such a way that the connection between this 4D, 2D is clear.
What is the manifold in 3D for
Chan-Simons? Oh, yeah, let's see. So, yeah, I'm coming to that in a moment. But let's see. So, let's call it like M3, for example. And I take M3 to be, in this case, the Riemann surface times interval, for example. And, or I can close this interval. Well, first of all, this is a Riemann surface times interval. And, of course, it has boundaries. So, we have to add appropriate boundary conditions. Or if you don't like boundary conditions and you can close this interval, and there is Riemann surface times S1. But instead of taking this direct product, we can twist it by an element of the mapping cross group. So where the bar phi is the element of the mapping cross group. So let's see, let me write this here. So we have the Riemann surface. So this is puncture Riemann surface. And also the, I take the element of the mapping cross group of this sigma. And by twist, so this is a three manifold such that, so there is S1. And this Riemann sub sigma is fibered over this S1. So for each over each point, there is a Riemann surface. And so by this twist by phi means that if you go around this S1, we grew these two Riemann surfaces on the boundary by the identification by phi.
Does this have a G1G resuming a description of it?
Yes, I think so. Let's see. So for example, for let's say let's take simplicity takes sigma times S1, for example. And well, let's see. So first of all, the old story is about SU2 case. And in that case, there is aberrantization story. And then there they have the description, actually the partition function by doing explicit gauge fixing, et cetera. The gauge theory here is a partition function theory on sigma times S1. Is the same as a 2D a partition function, 2D MUs, for example, on sigma. And there, in that description, you have this G mod G type description. And then, so that's another 2D theory, and I'm coming to this 2D MUs type description later. Anyway, so this is a 3D theory. So let's see, so I already specified the 3 manifold. So here on this side, well, there are several data like this that shows the boundary conditions, but the crucial ingredient is this Riemann surface together with an element of the mapping cross group. Oh. So these are the crucial ingredients. And I'm going to define this 3D theory on both sides starting from this data. And in a sense, I already defined this side, so it's a Chomsky theory on defined manifold. So in this case, these data come into the definition of the three manifold. But they appear in a, they have a different meaning on this side. So first of all, simply put, these 3D n equal 2 series are defined as a certain domain wall, so half VPS duality domain wall. And let's see, so there are several things to explain about this. So first of all, it's half VPS. So, and of course, this has 4 degree n equal 2 supersymmetry, which has, and the number of supercharges is the twice the number of supercharges in 3D n equal 2. And the discrepancy arises because we have half VPS domain wall here. And second, it's a duality domain wall. And the name duality comes from the fact that this is specified by this phi, the element of the mapping cross group. So recall that this is an element of the mapping cross group, but this is the S duality, element of the S duality in 4D. So in practice, this domain wall is defined as follows. Let's see, let's keep here. And so this duality domain wall. So one way to define this duality domain wall, well, I said one way because, well, in a sense, it can be defined also as a boundary condition on this 4D n equal 2 theory, but is to, let's take, so this theory. This 4D n equal 2 theory is defined in 3 plus 1 dimensions, so R3 comma 1. But in it, let's trace a certain R2 comma 1, which is the domain wall. And let's take this direction to be X3, for example. So this is located at X3 equals to 0. And then there is a complexified gauge coupling of this 4D n equal 2 theory, which is identified with this complex structure moduli of this Riemann surface. So let's see. So maybe I write it here. This tau is complexified gauge coupling. And let's take the value of a complex gauge coupling to be tau on this side, and phi of tau on this left-hand side. And so what it means is that there is a domain wall, and there is a non-trivial interpolating function between. So this is the profile of the gauge coupling, complex gauge coupling. And since this is a conformal theory, we can do the conformal transformation, and all the non-trivial things are happening here. And the simplest half BPS domain walls have this jump of this gauge coupling here. So it's like a Janus domain wall, except that the value of the tau here on the right-hand side and left-hand side are related by an element of the duality group. That's why it's called duality, duality wall. And well, so this is a 3D theory and couples to the 4D theory. But I can take a local S-duality transformation on the left-hand side, only on the left-hand side here. And then we have the same description, well, more or less the same description, except that we have tau on both sides. So the gauge coupling constant is tau everywhere. But of course, there was something happening here. So there is a certain theory which lives here. And now, since this value of the complex gauge coupling is not the same on both sides, we can turn off the gauge coupling constant by simply sending these to zero, ground up a G-sphere, basically setting this gauge coupling constant to zero. So although this theory is defined in four dimensions, this theory decouples from the 4D theory and stands on its own. So there is a 3D theory. And this is going to be denoted by TSU. Oh, let's see. So first of all, I'm going to consider the case A1 case. So the gauge group is SA2 here for most of the stories. So that's why we have SA2, which is a gauge group for this 4D theory. And I denote this theory by TSU2 phi. And as I said, this theory originally couples to this 4D theory. And this, and the way to couple it is that there is SU2, for example, gauge symmetry here, and another SU2 gauge symmetry here. And this TSU2 theory has SU2 times SU2 global symmetry. Although so there is a caveat. Well, there is a caveat to the statement, except that, for example, sometimes we, let's say this element of the S transformation. And then we have to actually take this as a Lagrange dual, which in this case is SO3, but that subtlety is not too important for me, so let me just write this as SO2. But anyway, since there are two SO2 gauge symmetries, this theory has SO2 times SO2 global symmetry. And this 4D theory couples to this 3D domain wall theory by gauging that symmetry. Well, eventually I go to this conformal point, which is the intersection between Higgs and Coulomb branch.
But all the mass parameters and all the parameters in
this theory are changed to zero. Well, let's see. So. Well, let's see. So, I mean, I'm going to define a partition function. The partition function itself, as you know, is defined by integrate over the Coulomb branch. And I definitely want to keep these mass parameters here on this side.
So that's how you see the
S2 cross S2 symmetry.
Don't some of the parameters break
the symmetry? Yes, that's right. So, for example, there's. We turn on only the mass parameters. Let's see. And yeah, so I mean, mass deformation breaks this SU2 symmetry differently. Yeah, so I mean, this statement applies only before I turn on these mass parameters. what I mean is that there's a trick with the mass parameters, and I can turn on. I'm going to turn on one of them, such because in order to do this, but that's the only consistent way to do this localization computation. And let's see. But anyway, so this is the 3D n equals 2 theory, and I'm going to define the theory on the three manifold which Sergey was defining last week. R squared, or well, the radius doesn't enter too much into the story, so this is the manifold. And then we can define a partition function. This is it here. Well, actually, for the case, for example, let's take the simplest case, n equal 4 theory, for example, here. Or n equal 2 star, which is the positive deformation. And then this theory has a Lagrangian description. So, for example, let's this sigma mass function torus, and then this T is 2, and then let's take, for example, the element S of the S transformation of the torus, and this is the same as 3D n equal 4 SQED with two flavors, and I wrote n equal 2, so depending on the mass parameters, it can be n equal. There is a mass deformation.
Why is SQED?
Well, that's right. So that's U1 and with two flavors. And it, these two, there's SU2 gate symmetry. And that's the symmetry I was talking about here.
But the original four-dimensional theory was SU2 n equal 2 star.
Yes, that's right. So these theories are coming from these boundary conditions. So sometimes there is, let's say, so they are in these brain constructions, we have 2D3, for example. And here we have this NS5, one NS5 here, another NS5 here. So the number 2, of course, reflects the fact that this box theory has SU2 gate symmetry. But here we are placing this NS5 to put some boundary conditions, and then there is some interval here. And that there is just one D3 here, and that corresponds to the gauge group here on the 3D theory. So indeed, the gauge group here on the 3D side can be different from this. The gauge is a subgroup in general of this gauge symmetry here. But of course, you can consider, if you have more brains, you can consider more complicated configuration NS5 brains. And then, for example, if you have SUN here, they can be SUN1, SUN2, SUN3, for example. And that's also in the boundary condition of this 4D SUN theory in that case. And since you asked me, I can give you a little bit more, talk a little bit more about this. So if you have, say, so this was an element of the S transformation. And well, this is, so first of all, the mapping cross group here in this case, the mapping cross group of the sigma is PSL to Z. So it's generated by two elements. One minus zero t is 1101. So this is a particular example. But I can take, say, so this is bar phi equal to s. But I can go on and I can take bar phi equals to stk. And then what happens is that, well, this was the original theory, but I forgot to say that this circle represents the gauge symmetry. And this square represents a global symmetry. And then what we are going to do when we turn on this TK is to include this Chern-Simons term for this background vector multiple. So this is a global symmetry, but it can be promoted to gauge field. In other words, it's weakly gauged, and then there is a vector multiplier associated with it. And you can add the Chern-Simons term here to that theory. So this is still a gauge symmetry, but the Charles, well, it's weakly gauged, and the Charles Lemma's term is added to that. And the reason for that is that is a standard statement that, let's say, so there is, suppose that you have a 4D theory, and suppose that the value of the theta angle jumps here by k. There's 4 pi, et cetera. But anyway, suppose that theta angle jumps by k. And then, since there is a FH term in the kinetic terms of 4D theory, but we can do this integration by parts, and this becomes a Charles Lemma's term, which lives here. So that's the reason why this addition of TK corresponds to addition of Charles Lemma's term here. And we can do more. So we can say STL, for example. And then what we do is that we prepare, first of all, if you add another S, we have another S, U1, and there's global symmetry. And we gauge the diagonal part. So there's SU2 global symmetry here, SU2 global symmetry here, and we gauge the diagonal part. So we have two, well, maybe let's keep it as a hexagon, and then there's another U1 here. So it has a Charles Lemma's term. So it's going to be the Charles Lemma's matter theory.
In four dimensions, there was just arbitrary theta.
Oh, let's see. So here I have this domain wall such that this value of theta varies by.
It jumps by 2 pi k.
Yeah, because, for example, that was, let's see. So this, remember the meaning of this phi tk. So let's take phi tk, for example. And then this means tau jumps to tau plus k. So this value of theta jumps by 2 pi k, and that's a jump for this particular case, and that you see the Charles Lemma's term, the theory. And now, well, it looks like that here we have this. We have. It's apparently it seems that in this description, it might look like that there is no global symmetry, but as I said, this theory has SU2 times SU2 symmetry. So actually, it has another global symmetry. This is the meaning of this is different from the usual quiver diagram, but there is another SU2 symmetry. And this SU2 symmetry is a symmetry which appears quantum mechanically. So namely, this SU2 is a global symmetry which exchanges these two flavors, and that's a symmetry which acts on the Higgs bunch. Whereas there is this is a self-meter symmetry. This is a theory which is self-meter, and there is a symmetry which extended these two SU2s. So anyway, there is a certain quantum mechanical SU2 symmetry, which is not manifested by Lagrangian. So we have another SU2 here, and here. And if you have, say, TL, for example, here, and we can gauge it. We aggregate it to add another Charles Lemma's term here. And we can go on and on. And of course, sometimes you have to group these. For example, if you want to close this quiver like this, you have to disengage these two quantum symmetries. And that's not manifested by Lagrangian. So that's a little bit tricky, but at least conceptually, we can gauge these quantum symmetries of the theory. Yeah, so the short answer is that, let's see, so for this, well, let's see, I was explaining this because you asked me about this case. So in this particular case, there is an explicit Lagrangian description. It's a Charles Lemma's model theory, and it has like quiver type description. Although, as I said, the meaning of this quiver is different from this usual quiever. And now, when this Riemann surface is more general case, I think, in my understanding, very little is known about the domain wall theory in general. So it's not even nice. It's not even known whether they have the Lagrangian description. And one thing we can try to do is that let's assume this 3D connection. And I'm going to have a partition function of this theory starting from this computation on this side. So, and of course, the partition function strongly respects the matter content of the theory. So by assuming this 3D correspondence, I think we can learn about a lot about domain wall theory, four-dimensional domain wall theory, for general n equal to SGFTs defined from the Riemann surface. Sorry, if that's the wrong answer, but anyway, and then let's see. So anyway, so we have this 3D theory, ST, SU2, phi, and it's defined a Hessian function S3D, and we can define compute it thanks to beautiful works by Kapustin, Mirit, Yakov, and also generalized. Well, there are subsequent works generalizing that to the normal dimensions, n equal 2 3D series, and also and also this deformation problem. And on this side, we have this 3D Chow-Simon theory. Well, this is, as I said, this whole theory in general has a Chow-Simon sum here, but it's a Chow-Simon's model theory. Whereas here on this side, we have just a matter, just a gauge field without any coupling to matter. And let's define it on this manifold M3, which I took to this one. And then there are certain parameter identifications, etc., which I have to explain.
Is that
SF2C or SF2R? Well, I prefer to formulate it in terms of SF2R because the connection with, I'm going to use the connection with Thai chimera theory, etc. But of course, the analytic continuation of the SF2C is natural. And let's see. So first of all, as I said, these data are used to define the theory on this side, whereas it's used to define the manifold, so the meanings are different. And in 3D Chow-Simon theory, there is a label. And this label is related to this deformation parameter by Laplace speaking, b squared is equal to 1 over k. There can be some quantum corrections, etc., but this is the parameter identification. And well, actually, this is really non-trivial because if you go back to the definition of S3B, there is a symmetry exchanging B to B inverse. And that corresponds to sending K to K inverse. So it's like the S-duality of the Chow-Simon theory. And then there are, at the technical level, this duality B exchanging B inverse comes from the fact that the quantities which are defined here are leading by the quantum dialogarithms, non-compact quantum dialogarithms, and they have this symmetry, and that's related to this FDD duality of this review theory. And anyway, again, the meaning of this part, so this is the geometric deformation, whereas this is the parameter in the Lagrangian. And also, let's see. So I said that this has global symmetry, so we can turn on mass parameters. So let's call it say M and M prime. I know two because there are two global symmetries, and we can get one out of that. And then the corresponding quantity on this side is the boundary condition. And I'm not going to go too much into the details of the boundary condition, but well, essentially, the non-trivial claim is that the boundary conditions can be parameterized by a half of this Penzel-Nielsen coordinate, whose complication appeared in yesterday's talk. And these parameters, M and M prime, mass parameters, are going to be identified with this Penzel, part of this half of, let's say, the Penzel-Nielsen coordinate. So the non-trivial statement is that the boundary condition more precise formulation is that the gauge invariant part of the boundary condition of this SL2C trans-2R, or S2R trans-amos can be parameterized by these parameters. So these are identifications, and probably I explained all the ingredients, I hope. Okay, I'm going to explain, so this is a proposal, and I'm going to explain why this arises by using the channel connections, but probably before going into the detail, it's worth mentioning connection with another 4D2D. So there was a 4D2D in the title, but there are, depending on who you're talking with, you're probably thinking about different 4D2D. And the version, another 4D2D version is, for the S50, defined from the Lehmann surface, but it's defined on S3 times S1. And then an interesting thing about this case is that since there is S1, we can define a width index by choosing a particular superchoice out of this, all the superchoices inside this 4D n equal 2 SCFT. But we can turn on various chemical potentials. So, and this index is the quantity which is invariant under marginal deformations. And there are three parameters which is given us by B, for example, in the literature. And there are particular combinations of the charges. But there is linear combination in both, but this is the energy plus spin actually, but they simply write as energy, and this is a particle asymmetry. So there are three parameters. So it's not just a particle quantity, but it's a function of these respect to these parameters. And now, so this is S1. So if you have S1, we can do the dimensional reduction. And so, then you have 3D n equal 4 theory. And if you go, to infrared, it can be S4, 3D n equal 4, SCFT. And here we have n equal 4 as opposed to n equal 2 here, because in that case we are simply doing the dimensional reduction. So there is no domain wall. So in that sense, this is another the simplest possible case in this correspondence, or in a sense, somewhat trivial case for this. But nevertheless, the interesting, what makes the story interesting, that there are different parameters which you can put on. And then, well, the correspondence that I was talking about, of course, relates this to 3D Chan-Simons theory. And here on S3, and we can define the partition function as well. And the proposal, the proposal I was talking about is proposed by the Stony Brook group, Gottela, Steligars, Martin, and Young, and it's about Q-deformed 2D and Mills on this Riemann surface. So this should be defined on this sigma times S1. And of course, these should come from dimensional reduction of 6D theory on S3 times S1 times the Riemann surface. So they should be lying like this. But this part is, known to some extent, but there are certain cases, because this is SO2, whereas people believe that this is really SO2, Q-deformed CML. So even this correspondence is not too trivial, in my opinion. And then, for example, this is a dimensional reduction, and indeed, several groups have explicitly verified that the 4D supercomponent index reduces to the partition function here. But there are, if you like, you can do more. So this Riemann surface is a functional Riemann surface. So the simplest possibility is a trinium like this. And then you can look at it as a graph, first of all, graph, and there is S1 around it. So this is written as a graph times S1. Of course, there are certain important things. For example, this has punctures. So this gamma is a graph, but you have to put some boundary conditions here and there, and also at the junctions. So there are boundary conditions here. But anyway, it's written as a graph times S1. And let me write it as S1 tilde, because there's another S1 here.
This sigma also is punctures here.
Yes, that's right. That's the same sigma, that Gyota curve for this 4D. So this 4D n equal 2 theory is the same as this 4D n equal 2 theory here.
Are there relations
between partition
function in 3D and the index in 4D?
It
is not very straightforward. It's not that one is equal to the other.
Well, let's see. So, I mean, for example, the one physical, this is, so first of all, historically, what people did is to take this expression and take the limit. But the more physical understanding is that there are two different the theories, and we can put the theory on this curved manifold and write down the supersymmetric transformation, etc. And what's interesting is that almost at the Lagrangian level, the theory for the n equal 2 theory put on here and 3D n equal theory put on S3 are the same, almost the same. And there are differences, but they are not important for localization because they are exact. So
they don't depend on different number of parameters.
Oh, no, that's what you're talking about. So, there is actually still some things to be worked out here, because I said it's a dimensional reduction, but let's see. So what people do is take this to be, let's see. So first of all, these are chemical potentials put on S1. So when we compactify it, we have to, these also, everything becomes goes to one, but we can think about the ratios as a non-trivial parameter. And let's see, so let me write as a minus beta iota, I think. and it's minus beta 3 over 1 plus 3, I hope this is correct. And so there are two parameters, eta and u here. And this eta corresponds to a squashing parameter S3 here, b. But unfortunately, as far as I understand, nobody has identified this meaning of u here on this 3D side.
Because
crucial, because otherwise the partition
transignments on that side will be ill-defined as emphasized by Gray lastly. So I think what we're talking about is not 3D transignments. So what we're
written
on the right side is just incorrect.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, so let's see. So first of all, I'm writing several different things. So first of all, because, for example, I don't think here that we have Q-deformed Jan-Bills, but here, first of all, there is just one parameter, whereas we have three more parameters. Well, more parameters. So it's not really, so it's just for the special case where T equals V, Y equals 1, I think, and for this Q deform, that was a very special case. And of course, we need to generalize this by including number of parameters. Of course, and also that should be the same for this side as well. I mean, and also even for this side, that's the same. So this is actually a pretty fascinating topic because, we are familiar with all these theories, but they should exist, depending on the context, one parameter or two parameter deformation of all these theories. And identifying them explicitly is an interesting problem, which I think many people are working on right now. But so that's right. So you should always be careful about the meaning of these signs. So typically, they are established only for the specialized parameters here on the superconformal index. And let's see. So I was also talking about the Riemann surface seen as the interval, the graph times S1. So this is also actually the same as S3 times S1 times S1 tilde times gamma. So we have torus emerging somehow. And then we can first compact final torus, and then we have for the n equal 4 theory on S3 times this graph. And this theory has been started by Francesco Bernini, Yuji Tachikawa, and Andrea. And of course, the number of supersymmetries are different. It's confusing in both theories of 4D, but for example, the number of supersymmetries are different because this is defined on a graph which has these boundary conditions, which have BPS boundary conditions. And if you like, you can compact right here, you go back to here, or if you start from this theory, it's natural to assume here we take this S3 part and we have obtained the 3D theory. But instead, I can go to 1D theory. 1D, it should be quantum mechanics defined on this graph. And so there should be some relation between these two. And this has partly been worked out in my recent paper with Nishioka, Tatsuma Nishioka, Yuji Tachikawa, and myself. Of course, this is another toy model for all these complicated theories because we are in the lower dimensions. But the good thing is that these theories can have Lagrangian description even for SUN case. So these are defined in TN series, and in general for TN greater than or equal to 3, it doesn't have a Lagrangian description. But if we compactify, there is a middle symmetry, and if we assume middle symmetry, we can compute the partition function. And then what we found is that there is a wave function interpretation of these results. So anyway, this is a little bit digression. So the reason I'm talking about is that there are all these sorts of connections between 4D and 2D. And even if you specify the dimension, there are different quantities you can define. And then these are connected. But of course, the physical reason for all these relations is the existence of this 62,0 theory.
And it's computable,
the right-hand side. Right-hand side?
This is the one that you were using.
Here. Yeah.
Is the computable right-hand side in
SL2 or yes, and for example, this paper by Tudor has defined the state sum model. There are, of course, historically ways to compute this partition function. So what sometimes people do is that one way to, first of all, characterize three manifold is to divide it into tetrahedron, of course. And then, of course, the question then you want to associate some operator quantity to that tetrahedron, and then define the total partition function as a sum of or product of these operators. But of course, there is a non-trivial consistency condition is that the triangulation is not unique, and if you say that triangulation is ideal, there is this 2-3 partial move. So anyway, the triangulation is not. So we should define essentially the pentagon identity. And so and there is a nice function, the quantum variable is a function which satisfies that. So a lot of people have tried to use that quantum variable function, associate that to isotope tetrahedron, and define a state sum model for chance atmosphere. Or actually, I'm going to define a connection of this 2D Liouville theory with 2D quantum trihumeral theory. Quantum trihumeral theory on the same Riemann surface. And this is. So, well, the trihumeral theory is defined classically just as a complex structure moduli form divided by some identifications, I mean, and diffeomorphisms. And so the important thing about this trihumeral space is that it has scalar form. So we can do the canonical quantization by replacing the Poisson bracket by a commutator of the operators. So there are certain non-trivial Hilbert space here. And the focal coordinates are very good coordinates for this. So there is a very explicit description here of the Hilbert space and the operators which acts on them. So we can compute things here as well, depending on the context. And well, that you can do again for any Riemann surface. Although that method probably applies only, but it's not clear because whether that approach is applicable to arbitrary three manifold. Well, it applies to this particular case, but there could be some restrictions. But then there is a state sum model like a computation here, or if you like, you can do trihumeral computations, and these two computations should be equivalent, at least in these cases.
Excuse me, this boundary condition parameterized by L and L prime,
they break topological
symmetry?
Topological symmetry. What do you mean by topological symmetry? You mean this?
Oh, you're saying in Chern-Simons,
there's
no topological symmetry?
Oh, I mean topological symmetry, you mean the Chern-Simons theory is a topological theory? Is that what you mean? Okay, well.
I know that if you, at least my understanding was that if you take SU2R, there is no topological boundary condition. Maybe I'm confused, but for SU2R, you're saying there is?
So for example, this is conceptually the same as the case of SU2, and then there are boundary conditions, and we have this SU2 Western Millimeter model on the boundary.
You're thinking about this chiral boundary.
Yes, that's right. So for example, this is a manifold with two boundaries, as I said. And then, for example, the connection between this chance atmosphere and Liouville theory is that it has boundaries, and this 2D Liouville theory, roughly speaking, this 2D Liouville theory lives on the boundary. That's the statement. But of course, as I said, you have to be a little bit careful because. Actually, more technically speaking, what lives here is only the chiral half of this Liouville theory. And when you want to compute this partition function, you have to do this gluing or take an inner product of the wave functions. And
how this parameter L says which Liouville theory lives? I'm just confused. You're saying boundary conditions represent with L and L prime.
Okay.
So if I choose L on the right side.
Okay.
So what do I do with my
Liouville? Oh, let's see. So this L is so what happens is that there is a state which you can write L in the Hilbert space of the Liouville theory. Well, in other words, so these are half of these Fentzel-Nielsen coordinates. So they are the coordinates for this trihumeral space here on this side. And I choose only the half because we are quantizing things, and we choose a polarization. So that defines a state here on this side. And the statement that non-trivial statement is that the same procedure specifies the boundary condition, gauge invariant part of this boundary condition for SL2R. And the non-trivial, well, of course, there are certain subtleties because this is SL2R gauge chance atmosphere, and there is a gauge symmetry. So I can try to be a little bit more specific. So if you do the canonical quantization here. And what you can do is that the degrees of freedom are AZ and AZ bar A, where A runs from 1 to 3, which is dimensionless to R, where Z and Z bars are the coordinates on here. And typically, people choose this choose a polarization that's such to take only this part, but we can choose another polarization to keep, these are equivalent to the spy binds and the spin collections. And so, you sometimes take the combination, like a non-standard polarization, chooses these spy bands and spin connection out of all these. And the statement is that this boundary condition leads you to the Liouville theory. And that partly explains them, well, for example, one question which I might have is that, well, we know that, for example, for SU2, we have boundary series SU2 with the minimum Whitney model. So for in this case, SU2R, why not SU2R with the minimum Whitney model? And that's certainly true if you choose this holomorphic polarization. But depending on the polarizations, you have different series. And that's the reason why we have Liouville theory instead of with the minimum Whitney model. But anyway, let's see. So in the remaining time, I want to quickly explain how to arrive at this 3D equation, which I'm just repeating by several steps. And as I said, the idea is simple. So generalize this 4D to the correspondence slightly, and add some extra ingredient. An extra ingredient in this case is this phi, bar phi, which hasn't appeared in this original 2D 4D correspondence. And so one thing is that, well, first of all, we start on 4D, 3D SCFT and go to some Liouville description, which is basically this arrow. And that's been done by Luca, Galton, Gomez. And so we have, well, so in AGT, we start on 4D n equal 2 theory partition function S4. And it's leading us Z and integral Coulomb branch parameters, and we create a classical and one loop part in the measure. And there is this necros partition function, and this let me write as Q exponential 2 pi I tau, and the partition function S4. S4 can be leading us this one, and there is that necros of and Q. So that was the structure. But in our setup, we can also include this domain wall. So we have S4 here, but we include domain wall on S3. So we have a combined partition function defined on S4. And what happens is that there is a contribution from 3D theory. Well, first of all, these are contributions of the fixed points of the north wall and south wall, so they are not affected by the presence of the boundary condition, because only the significant information is about this local structure around north and pole, south wall, so they are not affected. And then there is a contribution from this 3D partition function, and there is going to be a measure like dA prime dA. And well, and these 3D series are parameters, and these are the mass parameters which I was talking about. And when we gauge the symmetry, they are proportional to the scalar fields and the vector multiple. And so the natural question is, what's the counterpart of this in Liouville theory? And the answer is that, well, if you like, we can just change the notation somehow. And it's natural to arrive at this identification, where we have Q, and we have phi alpha prime, and we have alpha e. Alpha prime Q, where this is an operator which represents the, well, this is a certain matrix which represents the action of this bar phi on the mapping cross script. So in other words, we have this EQ, and I can take exponential 2 pi I bar phi of tau. So this is a certain conformal block, but this is related to integral certain measure, and we have alpha prime and alpha cube, but evaluated at the same complex structure module. So it's natural to identify these.
What is the E?
Oh, so yes, okay, so this is, I should explain on it. So this is a conformal block, first of all, I didn't even say that. And then these are the external momentum, and these are internal momentum. So technically speaking, these external momentums are associated to parameters which are the punctures at the Lyman surface. And let's see, so these are the alpha and different
punctures.
Oh, let's see, here? Here on this. Okay, so yes, so that was my sloppiness. So, of course.
We're talking about the superconformal theory.
Well,
Delta external mass parameters break
superconformal. Oh, actually, Sergey was talking about similar thing. And well,
Oh, but let's see. Oh, sorry, but let's see. So the mass parameter I was talking about, for example, the mass parameter fits deformed for the n equal 4 to, for the n equal 2 star. And
this is all for b squared.
I think you're taking a general A1 theory on a punctured Riemann surface.
Okay, yes.
But if you want a supernormal theory, you should not put masses at the punctures.
Yes, I mean, that's right. So that's certainly true. So, I mean, yeah, so...
Does that mean the external momenta or something special like B over 2?
Well, let's see. So,
if there's a trace of monochrome, it has to be one.
How do you do it?
Sorry that sort of these calculations were done not only in the superconformal case, but also on the.
Yeah, so maybe, yeah, probably I'm causing the confusion because I'm emphasizing too much this.
Okay.
Yeah, probably I'm.
Just don't say superconformal.
Yeah, probably, yeah. So probably I'm emphasizing too much the superconformal part. So probably I just say supersymmetric.
This is the Sayuri's
where it's a power doesn't apply. Right. So yeah, probably that's causing the confusion. I mean, for example, on the other side of the story, we definitely need superconformal theory because we want to use the superconformal index. But here, it doesn't have to be superconformal theory, so.
It's also a Liouville for C equals 25 or something.
This is Liouville with C equals 1 plus 6 Q squared, and where Q and Q is this, there was a deformation parameter of the square, and this D is going to be identified with this, the B. Oh, I see. So I mean, yeah. So there, that's also another caveat there. So for example, I said that this is for S4, and then this is really S4, and then there is no deformation parameter here. So this computation itself was done only for this equals 25. No, that's right. So for you know the complete story, we actually need a squashed S4 or something, which gives rise to this with the omega deformation parameter turned on.
I thought that this kind of computations always had no parameters like B.
For example, here?
Vasily's computation had a fixed B, I remember.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so that's this part.
There are many identities and I lose parameters somehow, I don't know.
Oh, okay, so let's see, so this part, that's a good point, and we sort of explained that in the paper, but let's see, so for example, this Vasily's computation definitely don't have this deformation parameter here. So all the set is specific for B equal. I mean, more precise speaking,
but for B squared equals 1.
If I want to use this connection, but this correspondence should hold more general for more general B. And of course, and one supporting evidence for that is that you can actually compute these partition functional 3D theory. For example, in the case of the n equals 2 star, I explained what the 3D theory is, and I can compute this 3D partition function, and very explicitly for general B, for S3B. And there is also the expression for this Müller-Seibel kernel on the Liouville side, which includes this B as well. And they are the same. So these are shown to be the same, in at least in the class of examples. But I agree. I mean, for example, when I want to say
for arbitrary parameters alpha, I mean there are always some restrictions. So everything is a complex first of all, the alphas and alpha primes.
Well, they are the Finch and Nielsen coordinate here. I'm taking SL2R, so they are real parameters.
No, I mean in Liouville, is it real?
Well, so they are real, I think.
Well, can anonymity be continued, but when you integrate over real axis.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course, I mean, for example, this is also in scalars and vector model, which is a real parameter. We can do, if you want, we can do analytic continuation. So we can try to do the choice of contours, et cetera. But,
yeah, and this computer project, I mean, it's also partition function A is a complex.
Here?
Z neck A comma Q. A is complex.
A here?
It's a Coulomb moduli.
Also
also in Vasily's computation, it was an integration over real axis defined by the reality convergence obligation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they are different. They are parameters, I think.
It turned out to be exactly the axis that you are supposed to integrate over in Bilbo theory.
That's related to your previous question, some sort of whether it's a software or quantity. There are different questions one can ask. For example, if A is complex, then we're talking about the software.
Yes, so.
So I think it's being mixed together.
So there is some consistency. You can take a real slice or a SOR and everything works fine.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there are problems with certain contours, for example, here. But anyway, maybe last time I'm saying so, maybe I'm not.
The road to SF2Z is very particular, I think, on the issue, because SF2Z transignments has twice more parameters, right? So this is a very particular one.
Yeah.
Particularly in. Well, I can have the levels, right? The complex levels and so on, but this is not a complex level. Also, there is only one level.
Well, it's one level, but it's becoming complex. So you're taking.
Yeah, I mean, so
there is a conditions, and also there is a level. So the different complex simultaneously. So when one becomes complex, the other has to be.
Right, and we keep it complex. We don't take some only real part of it. And so once you choose SF2R, there is only one.
Yeah, so keep an analogy, you can say, linear representations of the SOLTP, right? In general, for representation which is not unitary of the SOLTP, for highest weight can be complex number. But then if you ask for unitary ones, you're restricted to real axis or imaginary axis. And that's the same as. It's easier to think of what happens if you
restrict from. Yeah, but that's not true for SL2C. SL2R, yes, but not for SL2C. For SL2C, I don't think SL2C is a representation. For SL2R, yes, I take 1/2 plus I lambda, but they are increased dimensions also. For complexified group, actually, I don't have to do.
If we talk about character decomposition, then they're labeled by something like J is I rho plus N, or
right.
As integer.
But there is an integer and the real number.
That's it. Yeah.
But in the case of SF2R, it's a 1/2 and the real number. So that freedom is still it's not clear for me why should I choose that.
Oh, I was talking about representations of Lie algebra, not the group. So if it's Lie algebra, then even N becomes continuous when you have.
Right. So now we'll go back to that, then it's a unitary representation. So once you say the unitary representations, I get confused even more because. So this analytic continuation is actually not a straightforward thing.
It's a very good question.
You are basically thinking of SF2C as SF2R squared, which is not always true.
It responds to picking a real slice, basically. I think that's the answer.
That's not true, yeah. And yeah, let's say, since time is running, and let me try to wrap this up. So first of all, we have now everything in this trivial theory. And the non-trivial state, there is some quantity. This is the quantity we wanted to compute, and this related to this alpha I and alpha alpha prime. And actually, as the notation suggests, that we can relate it in terms of the more operator language. So this alpha alpha prime can be written as a certain alpha of. So there is certain Hilbert space. So it's a Hilbert space of, say, Taihinger theory or Liouville theory. But somehow you prefer to use this Taihinger language. So there is a Hilbert space of Taihinger theory. And it's bound by a complete set alpha. And so this is a complete basis. And as I said, these are the part of this Hanselmian coordinates. This quantity is the same as phi, where phi is now promoted to an operator which acts on this Taihinger Hilbert space. And so that's the story here or there. And then we can go to the Chan-Simons theory. And the key ingredient is, as I was explain in the prior to Natoria is that the transaminal theory, if you have SL to R transaminal theory, there is a specific boundary condition. Here, the Lehmann surface here, and boundary conditions specified by this L and L prime. And the, it was explained in the paper by Farm and Fiorini in the 90s, or 1990 or 1989, I forgot, but very long ago, that the real theory appears on the boundary theory if you choose this particular boundary condition. And the meaning of this bar phi, and I forgot to say that this boundary condition is, of, in order to specify this boundary condition, we need a Pons decomposition of Lehmann surface, and we can choose to take different boundary conditions here and there, and thus represent it as the action of this bar phi. So here we have the operator language, but we can promote it to the 3D theory. So there is a boundary. So here we have the boundary conditions here, and another boundary condition there. And we are simply computing this partition function by taking the inner product of these two.
Probably
it's not correct to attribute all the credit to.
No, that's not a question of credit. I guess this statement has been shown.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see.
Hermann did something, but different.
Which statement
has more? His claim is that if you choose, first of all, we know that as a function of the boundaries, it's a state which is satisfying Grassard ordering. That's what Hermann showed. Then is an abstract statement that he says that this phi alpha alpha prime that enters there is a state in function in some coordinate. That's a different state. It's particular function standing there, phi alpha alpha prime. What Hermann shows is whatever coordinate you choose, it will solve this equation, the d over d mu minus.
Hermann states just about two.
Equation is infinite. This particular function that's written there.
That's right. So for example, this connection between transaminal review that applies to any choice of coordinate on this Riemann space. As I said, but here, that's right. Here, so that's actually is not this part about this part. So I'm identifying this Mentzel-Nielsen, for example, parameter with this parameter pitch up is here, for example.
That's what I said.
For example, so I think that's the equivalence of this Deville theory and Riemann theory. And well, so I think Jörg actually, indeed, So he has, so.
But was it in this coordinates or on the fourth kind of coordinates?
It was in this coordinate.
Yeah,
this coordinate.
That's right. So I think the point is here is that we have a Hilbert space, so we have to construct some.
I was having modified the twist coordinates. In your language.
Right.
So, I can fix it up and then it's getting absolutely rigid and then these things are.
That's something else because I understood that this phi alpha alpha prime and this quantum dialogue that shows up, it was in different coordinates. So this is a separate computation, it's a new computation, or definitely not in the Falk coordinate.
Because the statement
of Dashaev and others, people who did it, Sergei and so on, was not in this coordinate, right?
This was one of the somewhat time-consuming technical steps to do to go from four coordinates.
Exactly. So typical folk and all these people.
I'm interested in this question, and
I think York's papers.
York? Did you weigh in on this? The issue is the following. So. one can first, there's one step which is diagonalizing the length operators, which is half of the Fenchel-Nielsen coordinates. Okay. That is published in full detail. Okay. There's a second step which is not yet published, which is really adding the other half of functional union coordinates, namely the twists, which fixes some ambiguity which remains if you only diagonalize the length coordinates, which is you have the freedom to multiply by functions of the length. Okay. So all wave functions you can multiply by functions of the length. Good. That creates some ambiguity, and this can be fixed when you indeed add the dual coordinates, which are the twist angles. And this can be done. It's not a sort of big deal from, but I could explain it here. So
that's your talk.
Yeah. So indeed. So that's right. That's right. That this part, and then this identification, this Nielsen coordinate is this. This parameter here is this part. So actually, in this story, I'm assuming a lot of things here, there, for example, in this direction, etc. So I wouldn't claim this as a proof of this 3D relation. So I'm just trading the new proposed statement to another relations proposed in the literature. So let's see. So I think time is running, so probably I should stop there. Oh, okay. So. Oh, okay. So yeah. Let me mention just one thing, hopefully it's also. And one thing I can do is to take the semi-classical. So as I said, for this particular class of lumps function torus, which corresponds to the n equal 2 star, we have this Lagrangian description. So I can verify this is the case. So this quantity is the same as this quantity. And then now everything is in terms of Thai-Himmler language. And I can analyze the semi-classical ring of that. So let's take 4D n equal 2 star with sigma 1 lumps function torus. And we have this 3D partition function on S3D. And for simplicity, let's remove the boundary condition by taking this mapping torus. And then this becomes, in the language of Thai-Himmler theory, this becomes, I was defining this operator. And this is schematically a trace of this bar phi. And of course, this is not a well-defined quantity in general, because this Thai-Himmler theory or the Hilbert theory has infinite dimensional Hilbert space, so there is issue of convergence, etc. But nevertheless, we can do the subtle point approximation, subtle point analysis, in the limit where b goes to 0. And probably I forgot to say that this b is the parameter, quantum parameter in Thai-Himmler theory. So h bar is roughly b squared here. And so there is quantum here. So there are commutation relations of all operators, and that's proportional to b squared here. And that b is the same as this deformation parameter which appears here. And as I said, this is a well-defined Hilbert space. And depending on preference, you can choose any coordinate you like, for example, the Fock coordinate. And then we can write down, Fock coordinate is associated with the triangulation of the Riemann surface, in this case, Lumps function torus. And there is explicit flips, etc., which you can perform. And so there is a very explicit expression for that. And I can take the limit, semi-classical limit, and it takes the form like 2 pi bi squared vx. So it's written as an integral of the form vx, where there are several x's. So these x are Fock coordinates. And so there is a certain potential which appears here. And the interesting thing is that, first of all, you can try to extremize it equal to 0 at x equals x star. And in this example, actually, the critical value, x equals x star, is the same as the volume plus the Chan Simons invariant of the three manifold. So these are certain numbers, which has very interesting number theoretic meanings. And we can show that explicitly here. Let's see. So here we have this the three manifold here, and for example, in this is a cross of three manifold, and in particular it includes the figure 8 of compact, which also appears in Sergei's talk last week. And well, in general, it's a knot in more general three manifold, not S3. But anyway, it's a knot complement. And what's more interesting actually is that even before taking this limit, this partition function has a meaning in this 3D. And if I assume that this three manifold is hyperbolic, it's
tells meaning in 3D hyperbolic geometry. And what happens is that in 3D hyperbolic geometry, we are going to construct three manifolds by gluing ideal tetrahedron. And there are parameters associated with tetrahedron, like, for example, the dihedral angles in between them. And but since it's an ideal tetrahedron, there are certain constraints. And in that sense, it's specified by a certain parameter, z, which is the modulus, or let's write it x, modulus of the tetrahedron. And actually, these parameters x, which appears as the focal coordinates here, are nice correspondence with this tetrahedron. So the number of focal coordinates which appear here is the same as the number of tetrahedrons which appear in the decomposition of three manifolds into ideal tetrahedron. And this potential function has a counterpart in this side. So we are going to divide the three manifold into tetrahedron, assign certain function to this tetrahedron, and consider the sum. And you take a derivative, and you have this Gruen condition for this modulus. So we have to glue this tetrahedron, so there are certain gluing conditions we have to worry about, and that can be written as a derivative of this simple function. And, well, as I said, for example, there is fully n equal 2 star, so there is a mass parameter here, let me write it m, for example. And then there is a parameter here, m as well. And actually, this inclusion of this parameter m corresponds to the deformation of the hyperbolic structure here on the three-manifold side. So well, it's not a complete hyperbolic structure, but there is a one parameter deformation of that. And if you include that, you can extract the A polynomial of the knot complement starting from this potential. So this indeed knows a lot about this three-manifold. And of course, on this side, the limit for B goes to zero, as was Sergey was saying yesterday, or no, so last week, this is R2 times S1, where S1 becomes very small. So we are effectively reducing to a 2D theory. So in this case, two star symmetry, so we are reducing to 2D, 2,2 theory. And of course, we know that we have this twisted superpotential. Probably it was being double effective here. I think this shows a nice interpret of various different topics. Well, probably this could be related to some integrable models, and then this Yang function, and this 3D partition functions. They all analyze the limit of these quantities. And then on this side, we have this volume or the Chern-Simons invariant of the three manifold. And of course, we can talk about the quantization by including this piece, parameter piece. And so I think it's an interesting problem to pursue this further. So that's all I wanted to say today. Thank you.
I got a little lost actually because you jumped from this L variable to the X variable.
Oh, yes, so indeed there was.
Jump is very complicated because
exactly, yeah.
From four coordinates to the L. By the way, since the conjugate ones were not defined, I don't even know how to.
I mean, conjugate one to which?
Because this space is twice more dimensional than just length operations.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There are lots. But what you said was that the ambiguity is absent because Z of 3D A prime does not have any ambiguity, also, does it?
Well,
I guess ambiguity. Phi and part of that. Z of 3D A prime does not have any ambiguity.
Oh, probably. Well, so when I say that these are equivalent, so probably that's related to the issue of phase, etc. And there could be some phase. I mean,
it is the ambiguity basically to renormalize conformal blocks by functions of the variables.
Yeah, it's
a wave function, so it comes with a trace of polarization.
So there is in that computation there is exactly the Jackson ambiguity.
Yes.
And Vasily's computation is basically the issue of how to split one loop determinants into contributions from more and so forth.
But why is the AA comma prime is wave function? It was a sort of partition function. There is no boundary, it's a three-dimensional manifold of this. But no. The C of 3D A comma I prime, I totally understand what that's important.
Oh, so right, so I mean this is defined on S3, which is compact manifold, but it has
Z of 3D A comma A prime is not a wave function. I don't understand why it's a wave function. Of what wave function?
Well, probably wave function of EBS Hilbert space of the 4D theory, because well, we are doing this in S3 times interval, and we have this Hilbert space on S3 for the fixed time.
Yeah,
know, I don't have a precise formulation, and but I think, I mean, of course, it's nice to have, I mean, explicit constraint. I mean, for example, all these stories there is underlying, well, I was talking about this equality, but...
Construct the BPS spectrum?
Yeah, construct BPS trivial space explicitly, and that should be...
What do you mean by that?
No, I think it's going in the conventional direction. So, as we were explaining in the paper with Kudera and Badr, the way to think about this partition function, I mean, that what becomes choice of polarization and this transformations on transcendence side are realized as duality frames. So, when you're asking a question, for example, and you write a Lagrangian, the answer is yes, you can, but that's not unique. So, there are different Lagrangians representing the same thing. So, the transformations between them are related to it.
That's fine, but what my confusion was, the ones that I've been asking several times already in different conferences, that I can do the transformation from one coordinate to another coordinate, but I have to define the coordinate. Right? And here the coordinates have not been defined because L is not enough. And I mean, you already know that that's a specific choice always made. And then in the case of two-dimensional theory, this question can be asked, right? I have a mirror space, I introduce half of the coordinate, now I have to introduce another half, I have to explain what I mean by another half, and so what is analogous thing in 3D computation? That was my question. If there is a 3D
side or in 3D?
No.
On the supersymmetric side.
That's 3D, whatever. This 3D n equal to SCFT, which Greg explained was not SCFT, but...
Yeah, it's not CFT, right?
So on that 3D theory, there is the questions that you can ask about choice of coordinates in like Miller space, whether you choose fork or any other coordinate, has to have analogy.
It does. There are a set of transformations you can use on the 3D theory.
Right, but that 3D theory was defined on the compact space, and it was some theory which had a Lagrangian. So is that something like S-duality, whatever?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the fact that space doesn't have a boundary. It's related to the fact that the theory enjoys...
Doesn't have a Lagrangian. The relation to the party doesn't have a unique Lagrangian.
Yeah, it's related to it.
And I asked before you came, or you were here, whether it's already had a Lagrangian. And you said that there was a Lagrangian.
The point is, it has...
There's a Lagrangian given a Pants decomposition.
Exactly. So there are many Lagrangians.
And
for every Pants decomposition, there's a Lagrangian.
Right.
Well, there is no Pants here. I mean, for general free manifold, there is some combinatorial decomposition. And just like for Pants decomposition, many different ones will be many different Lagrangians. So the fact that this wave function is related to this duality, choice of duality.
And it's funny that the four-dimensional Coulomb-Branch parameters know about it, because it multiplies on A, you know.
Yeah.
So that thing is very completely defined. These are the periods of something.
I wouldn't say it's funny, it's fascinating.
But in the 3D theory, isn't there a freedom to modify the contribution you associate to a pair of pants? Should it be?
I mean, yeah, there is.
Should be, but...
Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of what it boils down to.
Maybe in your question, these kind of questions partially will be answered, so let's thank you.